All right, what's up, everybody? Hey, Nick's here, back at the Expat Files. Make sure you can hear me all right. I do these weekly wrap-ups mostly to keep my sanity, but also as a kind of time capsule. Who knows? Maybe my son will watch this, and at least sometime down the road, if I'm gone, he'll be able to say his old man for sure paid attention to what was going on. So we have a theory here at Expat Files, and our theory about what is taking place in the world goes well beyond anything you're gonna see or read, unless you're really making the effort, I think, to go out of your way to sort of eschew the mainstream propaganda mills and try to think for yourself. Now, I know a lot of smart people who have done very well for themselves and are certainly qualified to have their own opinions. And yet, the lack of intellectual honesty and curiosity, I think, is going to bite all of us in the ass. And so, even though I don't pretend to know everything that's going on in the world, we have to make an attempt to make sense of it and have a report. I don't even know if I want to share screen and share links today. This is kind of interesting. But the bank term lending program, the very same program that, here it is. I will share it with you. Just show you this here. This is fairly interesting, I dare say. It's caught my eye this week. It's nothing that I didn't know. Let's see. Let's get that off there. There we go. This came in from my friend, a former colleague of mine, Dan, who puts this out. The bank term lending program. That's bank term fund program that the Fed set up in March when banks began to fail. SVB, the Silicon Valley Bank, failed, pumped in, X hundreds of billions of dollars, and lo and behold, that's about what stocks have done since then. So another not quantitative easing program, or don't call it quantitative easing program, has pumped stocks back up. We're off to one of the best starts in the first 6 months of 2023, one of the best 6 months ever in the history of the stock market. Now, I don't know what people watching this video may be seeing around. I don't know what you're seeing around you. It does not appear to me that it's going to be business as usual. And again, right, operating on the assumption that everything you're being told is a lie, everything. Everything that's coming out of mainstream channels for information, everything is a lie. And anytime anybody dares to tell the truth or simply stumbles and stubs their toe on the truth, it is immediately a move to be censored and shut down. So this is interesting. I mean, make of this what you will, right? They added this much liquidity, and lo and behold, the st stocks are up rough. The S&P is roughly up that exact amount. And so that's interesting. The dollar is, I don't have the DXY pulled up here, but the dollar has dropped below 100. That's interesting. This announcement that the BRICS countries will be rolling out a gold-backed currency, we'll see. It's a rumor. There's probably somebody benefiting from that rumor, so it's entirely possible that kind of it's a fate or a fake or a feint or some kind of misdirection. But who knows? I mean, I expect that probably the enemies of the United States, people who are sick and tired of having to operate under the direction of and do obedience to the morons in Washington, probably are plenty willing to put together their own currency and ditch the dollar. That does seem to be a trend with legs, so I expect that that probably is going to happen. Doesn't mean that the dollar's going to go away next month when they announce it, but potentially this is a big problem for anybody holding dollars. Seems like a story to watch. You're not hearing about it in the news, of course, or if you do hear about the potential demise of the dollar, of course it's played down. But here's another very interesting. I'm actually going to play this for you. This is a news story out of New Zealand about a news agency or some element of New Zealand's mainstream media propaganda mill who dared to suggest that actually what happened in Ukraine in 2014 was the U.S. overthrew a pro-Russian government. Now, of course, this is true, but watch how these people tie themselves in knots to make sure that you're not allowed to hear something like this, and how they, almost in a comical fashion, right, go so over the top to try to make sure that you know that that's not true, right? Uh-oh, misrepresenting the war.
The articles like this one were initially published by the respected international journalism agency Reuters, the interviews describing how Russia and its Kremlin puppets of Crimea to a collective Russian-backed separatist forces fighting in France and forces. Last when uploaded to the RT website, the story has changed significantly. Someone added that Russia and its Crimea after a referendum. It's a reference to these things even a decade ago. Russian troops are
all right, so the story goes on effectively to talk about and to point out that, in fact, the pro-Russian government was toppled in 2014. Nobody debates the statement or the report that 14,000 Russians were killed in Donbass and right whatever these provinces. These people have been fighting over this area for centuries, literally centuries. In fact, the Ukraine means the borderland. It is essentially the contested area in the southern part of Russia. It's no secret. You can find the stories and history of battles between these two peoples going all the way back at least 500 years and probably to the 1200s. And so, right, here we are again. The old statement about war, the first casualty of war is the truth. That does seem to be accurate to me in this case. So any case, make of that what you will. It does seem that this Russia-Ukraine thing is probably going to come to a head and going to come to a head very, very soon. But this report is really comical. We have to correct him. Oh, my goodness. So in other words, they printed the truth six times by accident, but now they have to make sure that you know that this definitely was not true. No such thing ever could have happened, because that would make us the bad guys, right? And so, and I watched a Tucker Carlson interviewed this Andrew Tate, who seems like a stand-up guy. He's got the correct moral philosophy. Don't know if he's going to beat the rap on this. Andrew Tate is facing jail time over essentially being a man, right? Which of course is illegal. And so I don't know if he's going to be able to get out of that. I hope he does. But he makes the point that, you know, in war, there's no good guys. It's all bad. And so this rah-rah cheerleading squad that we have in the U.S. to just start a great big war with Russia and let's blow up and kill everybody because we're the good guys is, of course, complete horseshit. And almost nobody really understands just how unbelievably hideous war is. And so the idea, the I think the lesson and the point is, if we are starting wars overseas, the thing that nobody seems to get in North America, because we've never had to live through this, is if that happens and we're to blame and we're causing this, and it certainly does look like that's the case, eventually that chicken does come home to roost. And the idea that you're going to have massive, massive violence in North America, I think increases the longer this bullshit goes on. The more we're pushing, and I say we, but it's not people like you and me. If you're watching this, you know exactly who I'm talking about. The sort of warmongers, the Victoria Nulands, and this Jake Sullivan, all right, and the Secretary of State, this idiot, whatever his name is, running around, like trying to figure out ways to propagandize why we need to go kill more people in Central Asia And in fact, we need to kill more Russians because killing Russians is good, et cetera, et cetera. All of this shit is going to come home to roost, and it's probably going to happen in our lifetime. And so you have to be, if you're not hip to it, if you're not aware of it, if you're not worried about it, it's going to affect us at some point that this is happening. We will be affected within our borders by what is taking place. It's a law of the universe. Right? What's happening outside of our country, mostly to everybody's complete and total ignorance, but with a huge dose, it appears to me, of people who are actually on board with this and think it's a great idea that we're going to go teach the world a lesson. At least that's how it's being spun. I mean, maybe there's very few people who are in favor of it. But again, it highlights the fact that neither you nor I have any control over what's taking place. And the interview with Andrew Tate, he made another point, which is the total denigration of the sort of masculine ethos where men and men's job in part in this world, in your lifetime, men's job in part is to know when to say bullshit and to call bullshit and to say, no, we're not doing that. We're not having that here. It's been so pushed out in favor of this attitude that women are essentially infallible, right? Anything women do has to be taken seriously and respected and all the rest. And you just don't see any kind of masculine ethos left, or you see so little of it. And when it is seen, it is immediately labeled as something, right? This concept of toxic masculinity. I mean, it's even in fucking shaving commercials, right? Where you're supposed to now buy your razors because you want to be more effeminate. Very, very strange. Very, very strange turn of events. The other piece about the war, just as I'm cataloging my thoughts here, the other piece about the war is that three things. Joe Biden exercised his powers that he doesn't have to send troops at his sole discretion. He's sending 3,000 reservists to Europe. Various reports sort of counteracted this or explained it away as, no, it's not a sign that the war is widening. It's actually evidence that nobody wants to support it. So he's got to call up reservists and National Guard people to go help with supply chain problems and things like this, because nobody's in favor of this. Europe understands they are not going to fight Russia. The danger here, of course, is that the genuine danger is that a false flag will get everybody dragged into war, just like what happened in 1914. Not that that was a false flag, right? But that some event will pull everybody in. War is notoriously unpredictable and very, very dangerous. It is, by definition, a kind of black swan rich environment where totally unforeseen events can and will unfold and cause more unforeseen events. And so it's a very dangerous game that the people in NATO, which is the US, are playing right now. Very, very dangerous. So the US, Joe Biden's sending and announcing that he's going to send 3,000 reservists. Why we have any business doing this, I don't know. But again, everybody's doubling down on why we need to somehow defeat Russia. Of course, the goal is to defeat Russia so we can carve up Russia and take Russia's resources. That would certainly help the people in power. The other piece that I think is worth noting, I saw a report, recruiting as of this year, 2023, is down in the U.S. military. In some branches, 25 to 50%. They're short their quotas. Even military families who historically have been the sort of backbone and the heart and soul of the military itself are telling their children, don't join the military. It's not worth it right now. And the idea, of course, that, you know, these woke policies you have now, he/she's running around the military explaining why it's great to, you know, be a tranny and this kind of thing. Like, the policies, of course, are completely contrary to anything like military discipline or morale. To be clear where I stand, we don't need all of this military, right? The U.S. has two oceans, one on each side. Nobody's coming to invade the U.S. The only people invading the U.S. are invading from the southern border. And we're allowing that to happen because it's somehow good for our demographics, right? This is the thinking, as if Europe hasn't been destroyed by unrestrained immigration, by people we don't know anything about or can't have anything to do with, because somehow that's racist. And so all of these policies, all of this nonsense is coming to a head. It's going to come to a head, and it's coming to a head very soon. The other piece on the war was that the U.S. announced, in spite of all of the world's protestations, that they will be sending so-called cluster bombs. These are devices that break apart and then blow up. So it's a bomb that breaks into many pieces, and then these smaller pieces cause tremendous harm. The danger, of course, being that if they don't explode right away, and they're designed to have a delay, that if some of them don't explode right away, then children playing years later, you know, months and years later, come across these very strange shaped things, and then they blow up, and they're designed to maim and essentially injure, but not necessarily kill human beings. It's an anti-personnel kind of weapon, and the world basically came to the conclusion that this was a bad idea, that it was so uncivilized to conduct war this way. And then to hear this imbecile Jake Sullivan was justifying why we're doing this, and the reason we're doing this is because our cluster munitions have lower, we have a very low dud rate. In other words, most of the ones that would go off accidentally years later is very low in our arsenal. So it's okay if we use them, even though the rest of the world has outlawed them and said that this is a bad idea. It's another example of the sort of idiots in Washington sort of giving the middle finger to the entire human species and saying, well, we're just going to have wars and murder people the way we feel like it, and there's nothing you can do about it, and so take that. And so again, if you're not sensitive to hypocrisy, perhaps none of that matters to you. But of course, the US invaded when the rest of the world said please don't in 2003. What Saddam Hussein was supposed to have had to do with the sort of phony attacks of September 2001, nobody has ever explained. That he did not have weapons of mass destruction was known by the military intelligence community. I know that because I've talked to people inside there who have subsequently left the army intelligence and military intelligence. They knew that there was no weapons of mass destruction. And so the entire invasion was a complete lie, of course, highlighted by Colin Powell's nonsensical presentation in front of the UN with a white vial of white powder, talking about how weapons of mass destruction could kill us all, and we need to be the good guys and ride to the rescue. He was completely lying his ass off, and he knew it at the time, and yet this is what we now accuse Russia of doing, as if we also didn't do this, right? The Russians had plenty of provocation, and not seeing this situation from their point of view is exactly how this thing will tumble over into a much wider, much worse war, which will affect us all, of course. The last piece for this week, I saw a really outstanding, outstanding video. I don't have it pulled up right now, or else I would show it to you as well, but it will be in the show notes. It's a discussion and a breakdown. The great Ed Dowd, former BlackRock money manager, who put together the book Cause Unknown, looking at the data in terms of how many people have died, right? What the effects of all these things, not even talking, he's not even using the word vaccine anymore. You can draw your own conclusions where this has come from. His prediction is that the numbers now, and in this video, he explains the numbers are now so dire, and it is so disturbing, the number of excess injuries, disabilities. He took data apparently from the UK. This is the UK government's own data, and they're analyzing how many millions and millions of people have been essentially incapacitated by, we don't know what. Could it be all the injections? He talks about having met with several doctors, including Dr. Ryan Cole, who was very clear in his denouncement. I know people still getting these boosters. If you're not paying attention to this, you're going to get caught in big, big trouble, right, with these stupid mRNA vaccines. Dr. Cole's comment in the video is, and he's quoting Ryan Cole. Dr. Ryan Cole is not in the video, but he says the whole mRNA platform is flawed. The whole thing is so bad. Don't go anywhere near this. Don't ever get an mRNA injection. Now, this is cold comfort to the 5 billion or so people who trusted the authorities and did what Uncle Tony Fauci told them to do. But this is very, very serious problem. And the sheer numbers of people being incapacitated and destroyed by these injections is so bad, and it is so serious, and the entire situation is so dire. Hematological conditions, something like a 25 sigma change. In other words, here's the average, number of people who would have problems with, say, cardiovascular events. Here's one standard deviation from the average. Here's two standards. Here's three standard deviations. 99 point something percent of all normal activity would fall within three standard deviations. You're talking about 25 standard deviations outside the norm. So the chance of this happening by accident is so minuscule, you would have to run an experiment with billions and billions of worlds done over and over again in order for this to happen by random chance. In other words, it ain't random chance. And so people still sort of in the dark about or in very serious denial about what has taken place. I think in the next several months, you're probably going to see things really come unglued. I've been saying this for a long time, but it doesn't seem to me that it's going to be possible to sweep these kind of numbers under the rug and pretend like this isn't happening. You're talking about tens of millions of people being really having their lives destroyed by what has happened. The disability rate in the UK is so high now. It's really questionable whether civilization will continue to function. You're talking about something that is, obviously there may be treatments for these people that can reverse the problems that are being caused by this spike protein, but it's not obvious that anybody cares. It's not even obvious that this isn't being done on purpose. Our brilliant Vice President Kamala Harris talking about why we need to reduce the population. And so that's what's happening this week. That's our wrap up for the week ending July 14th, Bastille Day in France, for anyone who still cares about revolution. And thanks for watching. I'll be back with more information. I'm actually in Alaska, thank God, enjoying some time with family. So information is a bit sparse these days because God knows I need a break from the computer, but I'll still try to do these weekly wrap-ups because I enjoy them. It's a good way to sort of clear my head. And again, this is my lifeline to sanity, is to at least put a record together and be able to look back and say, yeah, I was right, I was wrong, whatever the case may be. But that's what's happening for this week. Talk to you again. Thanks.